We're continuing on in this series, and I'm loving this series. It's a really good series because there's a lot of things that we deal with that we don't realize that God loves us just as we are. And so one of the things is a very apparent thing that we struggle with that we're going to talk about today. It's a superficial thing, and so that it's one of those things that we're almost embarrassed to admit that we deal with. It's a problem that we face. So if there was one thing about yourself, I want you to think about this seriously. If there's one thing about yourself, your physical body, that you could change, what would that be? Think about it. I bet instantly it popped up in your head. If there's one thing physically about yourself that you could change, what would it be? Now turn to your neighbor and look at them. And there's something physically about them that you would change. Please, no, don't do that. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. No. Relationships ended on this service because of what I said. When I was growing up, and this is, you know, admittedly, this is when we struggle with this. This is when we struggle with image, is when we're in adolescence. We really struggle as we're adults, but we just don't admit it because we see it as superficial. When I was a teenager, and I think I've even mentioned this to my wife. I don't know if I have. So as studious as I was in school, as you know me to be, I had to be in summer school one year because of a class that just didn't work out for me, so I had to do it again in the summer. And so I was in the summer school, and I met this girl, and I'm a very friendly person. I try to meet everybody that I can. I've always been that way. Sometimes it gets misread, and there was this girl that kind of misread my attention that I was giving her, and she thought I was interested. And so she asked me, you know, she started trying to pursue something, and I'm in like high school. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I just don't. It went south from that moment. And she ended up telling me, man, women are like, they are ninjas when it comes to, I'm going to tell you something about yourself that you didn't know, and you're going to suffer for the rest of your life because of this. She told me that my eyes are crooked. She said that it's a little off, like this one's a little turned and they're not even. And I was like, what? I said, that's stupid. That's not true. I immediately go to the bathroom and I'm like looking at my eyes. And I'm like, you know what? They are a little turned. I struggled for the longest time of like, when people look at me, I'm like, do they notice that my eyes are crooked? Do they know that there's something there? There's also something else, like, because, you know, in the South, we love sandals, Birkenstocks, you know, all the Doc Martin sandals. Those were the thing when I was in high school, and I had a pair. But I don't know if it was because of my testosterone or just where I was. I'm a hairier guy. Right? And so I had hair on my feet, okay? And so I always struggled with wearing sandals because not all the other guys, and hopefully not all the girls, had hair on their feet. And so when I would walk around, I'd be worried that they're looking at my feet going, why is he so hairy? He's like a monkey or something. What's wrong with him? And I would have these things would just go around in my head. And honestly, nobody even mentioned my feet. I just was always worried. The eye thing, that was completely delivered to me. But the feet thing, that was all me. And it was just weird that I was so worried about this stuff, worried about my image. The list can go on and on, the things that we don't like about ourselves. It can turn into a vicious cycle. And one of the things that is not helping is social media. Social media, Facebook and Twitter were bad enough. And then you brought Instagram into the world. And that just does not help. They added filters to make people look better than what they are. And so people get on there and all they see is the, like with Facebook and Twitter, it was like the highlight reel. Like Instagram, it's like the all-time highlight reel of your life, of like you look the greatest you will ever look in this moment. And girls and guys have built whole careers around just looking good in a picture. And so it doesn't help us, because we get on there and we think these people look like this all the time. We think that they're always this good looking, and then we compare and then we think, why don't I look like that? Why don't I feel like I feel like they do? And I think people think about me more than they really do think about me. And that's the same for you. You think about people thinking about you more than they actually think about you. Does that make sense? And we ponder on it and we worry about it. There's some cool, I'm glad that culture is getting hit to this. And the media is getting hit to this. And there's actually some cool campaigns out there. And there's a video that I'm going to show you. Dove. You've probably have seen it. If you've seen it, don't spoil it for your neighbor. But I'm going to show you this video. And it's actually really cool. It has to do with self-image.
I'm a forensic artist. Worked for the San Jose Police Department from 1995 to 2011.
I showed up to a place I'd never been, and there was a guy with a drafting board.
We couldn't see them. They couldn't see us.
Tell me about your hair.
I didn't know what he was doing, but then I could tell after several questions that he was drawing me.
Tell me about your chin.
It kind of protrudes a little bit, especially when I smile.
Your jaw?
My mom told me I had a big jaw.
What would be your most prominent feature?
I kind of have a fat, rounder face.
The older I've gotten, the more freckles I've gotten.
I would say I have a pretty big forehead.
Once I get a sketch, I say thank you very much, and then they leave. I don't see them.
All I had been told before the sketch was to get friendly with this other woman, Chloe.
Today I'm going to ask you some questions about a person you met earlier, and I'm going to ask you some general questions about their face.
She was thin, so you could see her cheekbones. And her chin, it was a nice, thin chin.
She had nice eyes. They lit up when she spoke.
Cute nose.
She had blue eyes, very nice blue eyes.
So here we are. This is the sketch that you helped me create. And that's a sketch that somebody described of you.
So yeah, that's... She looks closed off and fatter, sadder too. Mm-hmm. The second one looks more open, friendly, and happy. Mm-hmm. I should be more grateful of my natural beauty. It impacts the choices and the friends that we make, the jobs we apply for, how we treat our children. It impacts everything. I couldn't be more critical to your happiness.
Do you think you're more beautiful than you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
We spend a lot of time as women analyzing and trying to fix the things that aren't quite right. And we should spend more time appreciating the things that we do like.
It's a really cool thing, and it can almost bring you to tears to think about how people think about themselves. The image that they have of themselves and they describe. I'm so glad that they did this. This is not the only thing that they've done. There's so much more out there. Go check it out. Get on YouTube and look at it. If you're having a self-image problem day, go check that out. But isn't it crazy how they describe themselves? How the image of themselves is so worse than what reality is. My image of myself, because of that one negative instant, has affected me for a long time. Even though beyond that, I had girlfriends. I had people tell me that they liked me, that were enjoyed my presence, didn't think that I was ugly. Hannah's gone through the same things in her life. And it typically is around sometimes when somebody's just, they want something from you and they can't get it. And so what they're going to do is they're going to tear you down. They're going to take something away from you. And just the same, Hannah struggled with stuff, and she told me about things that somebody said to her, and I'm like, are they crazy? They were obviously doing that just to hurt you, because it's not true. You're beautiful. And so we struggle with this. And so there's some facts. Glamour Magazine actually did a survey And it says, it's an exclusive survey of more than 300 women of all sizes. Research found that on average, women have 13 negative body thoughts daily, nearly one for every waking hour. Then it goes on to an even more disturbing number of women confess to having 35 to 50 or even 100 hateful thoughts about their own shapes each day. And there's other studies that have found that 94% of men have a negative thought about their appearance every day. We constantly compare ourselves to others. We're constantly looking at others and saying, why don't I have what they have? They're what media tells me is what's beautiful, and I don't look like them. And so we think negative of who we are. We begin to tear ourselves down. This image, and just as she said in the video, your self-image really affects everything that you do. It affects your relationships with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. It affects your relationship with your kids. It affects your relationship with your coworkers and your families. It affects everything. How you spend your money, what you do with your time. Self-image, although is superficial, it can really damage what you do every day. It can change. It can alter how you perform, what you do. We get so wrapped up into our image, we forget there's an originator to this art form, to this creation. There's one that originated who we are, and we forget about that because media is all, and other people are just constantly in our face telling us how we look to them, and we forget about, well, how do we look to the one who actually created who we are? Throughout Scripture, God addresses image. It's a superficial thing, but the Bible is riddled with this. Addressing your image and how you feel about your image and what it means to God. So we're going to go throughout Scripture here. We're going to go throughout pretty much the whole Bible. We're going to hit points just so I can show you that it's all throughout, that your image is important, what you think about your image. So the first point that we're going to look at, the first spot, is realizing that we are created by God. And so the first thing we're going to look at, and you can look at it in your Bible app, or you can turn to it if you have a Bible with you. In Genesis 1, 26 through 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." First thing I wanted to point out, if you didn't notice this, this was like when the earth was being created, and God said, "Let us." Who's us? If he's supposed to be one, who's us? Well, he's more than just one. He's three. It's a Trinity. I'm going to show you something real cool here, all right? It's Father God, Father Son, Father the Holy Spirit. We are made in his image. How do we define ourselves? Mind, body, and soul. We are made in his image. Just like he is made up of three, we are also made up of three. I wanted to point that out. That's very important to realize how closely we are made in his image. That even then, we are in a human trinity, just like he is a trinity. We are made in the image of our Creator. See, beauty is only skin deep. I know the feeling. I know the thought of, hey, if I only had what they had, if my ears were just right like theirs, if my eyes were just right, if my mouth was just right, all of us are different. Some of us have a front porch. Some of us have a back porch. Some of us have both. Some of those men got a dome. We got some space to roam around up there. Some of us are losing the battle of landscaping on top, like me. We're all different. But we think, if I just had that hair, if I didn't have this, or if I didn't have that, I would be happy. My life would be good, just like whoever that beautiful person is. And these people that we see as beautiful, We think that, oh, they don't have any problems. Ah, that is a lie. I know these beautiful people. I've met them. And sometimes they have more problems, more self-image issues than we do. Just because you have the beauty that's skin deep on the outside doesn't mean it all goes away. You will always be struggling. There will always be a fight. No matter how you look, there's always problems. If you need any revelation of that, just turn on some kind of reality TV and you'll find out. We just started watching a TV show. What was it called? I don't know, something about Survivor. It's like they took celebrities and they put them with outdoors people, and they're like, survive, and they put them out there. There's a Baywatch girl on there, you know, and she was on Baywatch, right? Beautiful. She's have self-image issues. It's riddled. You can see it. It's obvious. There's models on there, and it's obvious that there's self-image issues there. We'll move on to Psalm, King David, talking to God, and it says in Psalm 139, 13 through 15, For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am truly, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. 23 chromosomes from your mom, 23 chromosomes from your dad. That's how you were made. God took those and wove them together in the womb of your mother. Before you could talk, before you knew you existed, he was designing you. He was making you. He was creating your image. Do you know the possibility to recreate you? This is how unique you are. To recreate you, to take... And even if we took the original, your mom and your dad, and we put them together and we said, okay, make another one to recreate Bill, make an exact copy. It would be from the 10th to the 2 billionth power. That's how almost impossible it would be to recreate you. You are unique. Celebrate that. God made you exactly the way that you are. For a reason. You are purposed. He was knitting you together. You are not a carbon copy. You were made for a reason. You have a purpose. So thank God for those things that you don't like about yourself. Because if you didn't have them, you'd be just like somebody else. I thank God that my eye is crooked. Because nobody else has this crooked eye other than me. Thank God for my hairy feet. Because then nobody have hairy feet like my hairy feet. Some are more hairy or less hairy, but nobody has mine. I'm unique. Thank God. I thank God for my receding hairline and my balding spot in the back. Because nobody else has it. It's unique. You are unique in whatever it is. The next thing when you realize that we are actually celebrated by God. We are celebrated by him. In Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he chose you before the world was created, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purposes of his will, to praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In the beloved. All that was just said, all that predestined and all these things, before the creation of the world, he's talking about you. He loved you. He celebrates you. Hannah is the object of my love. I love her. That's where I pour all my love. Our kids are the object of our love together. Because we loved each other so much, we wanted to spawn. We wanted to create. We wanted to make more. We wanted to put our chromosomes together and have an object of our love together here on earth. You have to have an object to love for there to be love. There has to be something existing to have love for it. And it's a choice. It's a choice. I choose to love Hannah because I chose to love her and she chose to love me. We chose to have kids. And I choose to love them. I don't always like them, but I love them because I choose to. Jesus chose to love you before you were born, before you existed, before you did anything right, before you did anything wrong. Jesus chose you to love you so much that he died for you. You see, sin is unattractive. Sin is the thing that pushes God away. No matter what it is, whatever it is in your life, how it all amounts to, is that sin pushes God away, and that's unattractive. You ever been pushed away? Does it feel good? No, it's unattractive. So what Jesus did, he came here to be perfect, live a perfect life, a sinless life, undeserving of the death that he did. And he did an ugly death, an unattractive death, and then came alive again, again perfect and beautiful, to present us with an opportunity to show us that we could trade with him. And what he did, he says, okay, I will take your sin, I will take your ugliness, and I will take your place so that you can take my beauty, my perfection, and what I created, and what I did for you. You can escape that ugliness. You can escape that sin. What an amazing thing. But he chose to do it. And he's trading our unattractive sin with his beauty. So we have to realize that we're celebrated by him. He chose us. The next thing is that we are completed by God. We are incomplete. And so scripture addresses this. In Colossians 2, 9 through 10, it says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority." We are completed by him. We are incomplete people. We have flaws. That's why we have all the problems that we have, because we have gaps in ourselves. We have talents. We also have untalents, things that we're not good at. It happens. It's the way we're not perfect. This is the way that we're designed. We're incomplete. But Jesus has given us the opportunity to be completed. Before Jesus, for humans to be completed, they had to go through this whole rigmarole. They had to go build a whole temple. They had to have this sheet that was like, 12 feet deep, to save them from the presence of God, from burning them. They had to go sacrifice animals. They had to do all these things to find completion, but it wasn't working. And so Jesus came to give the opportunity of completion at our freedom of choice. See how beautiful that is. We get to choose completion. We get to choose to be connected with the Creator. And when we do that, he fills in the gaps of what we're lacking. He's on tap. And I talked about this before, that the Creator wants to connect with us. And if we just ask for wisdom, if we just ask for knowledge, if we just ask, he will give. He completes us. It's on tap. The Creator is on tap for us. So whatever is going on in your life, wherever you fall short, he is waiting to complete us. We just have to choose and give the opportunity. Where else in life do you find this type of completion? You don't. People are searching for it. They're trying to find it on Instagram. They're trying to find it in social media. They're trying to find it in their job. They're trying to find it in money. They're trying to find it in their relationships. They're trying to find it in things. But it always runs out. The completion is never there. It never finishes. They're always searching for the next thing. If you know somebody in your life that is always reaching for that next dollar, that if I just get that amount, if I just buy that house, I've made it. I'm done. And once they get it, it doesn't take long until they're like, the gap's still there. I got to find something else. Maybe if I buy that boat now. Maybe if I buy this, maybe if I get a new wife, maybe if I get a new husband, maybe if I get this or that. They think that that will complete them, but it won't. The only thing that can ever complete a human is going back to the Creator, and that's the opportunity that Jesus has given. He fills in the gaps for us. And the next thing I want you to realize is that we are clothed. I am clothed by God. I am clothed by Him. We find this in Scripture in Isaiah 61:10. It says, "We will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." He's not talking about, hey, I went down to whatever place, fill in the blank, and I got you just some rags to put on, to clothe yourself. No. Just like a groom puts on the tux, the best thing that you can look in, best thing, the thing that Ryan Gosling wears, whatever he wears, that kind of stuff. For women, it's the jewels, the beautiful things, better than Kendra Scott, better than Tiffany's. He wants to deck you out in the most beautiful things. He wants to clothe you. We are incomplete. He gives us the opportunity. So when you are a Christ follower, and if you're a new Christ follower, if there's something that is a revelation to you that I'm following Christ now and your life is changing, there's something that always happens. When you hit that life change, people begin to notice. And they go, man, there's something different about them. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. It's kind of like they're seeing you in this new bedazzled way, shiny. And they're going, what are you wearing? I'm wearing Jesus. This is what this looks like. Joy. True happiness. Blessings. Real relationships. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to be clothed by God. So people begin to notice. And they want to know what you're wearing. And you get to tell them. No matter what's out there. No matter what people can put on. They can go get the Armani. They can get the Boss. They can get all of that. Anything here on earth that you can clothe a person on, solid gold suit, whatever it is rags. Rags compared to what Christ can clothe you with. Rags. You ever met somebody that had all the nice stuff, they had all the nice things, and you want to hang out with them because of that? They're like, oh, they're so cool. I just want to be around them. I've done it, don't worry. It's more around technology stuff. Like if they have, you know, Oculus and you know the Xboxes and the big TVs. I want to hang out with them. Like, oh, it's so cool. You know, and then you get to hang out with them and you realize, man, they're shallow. Man, there's just nothing. There's no substance there. And then you find yourself wanting to hang out more with the person that doesn't have all that stuff. But man, they're good at relationships. They're good at loving. They're good at these things because all that stuff is rags compared. All its rags. Jesus is the true thing to wear. That's where true beauty comes from. Christ is, it's inevitable when you're a Christ follower, you will shine bright like a diamond. Yes, you can. You can shine bright like a diamond. That's what true beauty is. So we are created by God. And then we are celebrated by God. We are completed by God, and then we get to clothe in God. When we look in the mirror, there's something that happens. You're either looking at the image that people tell you that you look like in the video, those negative thoughts that they had, the image that they portrayed of themselves, you see that in the mirror, or you take the mirror away and you look at Jesus. And Jesus says, you're beautiful. You have beauty. No matter what you look like, I created you to be that way. I wanted you to be that way. You're beautiful. You get to swap with Christ. You get to get rid of your unattractive stuff and take His beauty. It's an amazing thing. So there's a couple of things here, some application stuff that I want to tell you to help you navigate this? Because I know this is a lot. We went through all long way through scripture, and this is kind of a lot to swallow, and it's a superficial thing that we all struggle with. So here's some tips on how you handle this. Because Christ has tailor-made a suit, a dress for you. He's tailor-made an outfit for you. It's your choice to put it on, whether you're going to wear it or not. So here's some ways that you can wear it. This is how you find out where it is and how you get it. So the first thing I want to tell you is flip the script. Flip the script. There's a script that you have in your mind that you're constantly telling yourself that, oh, my hair's not good enough. Oh, my eyes aren't good enough. Oh, my body's not good enough. Flip it. Stop saying that. Focus on your positives. Focus on what's good about you. See, in your mind, there's like synapses and these connections, and your brain is kind of like a robot, kind of like a computer. You can tell it what to think. You can reprogram yourself. And so if you mind map in a positive direction rather than a negative direction, you will get better, and it'll become fluid and natural to go the positive route, to find the good in yourself, to find the good in other people. When you mind map in the other direction, you end up only pointing out the negative. And yes, you're talking about yourself most of the time, saying, oh, there's something wrong with me. But then you get to talk about other people, because to make ourselves feel better, we got to talk about other people and how they look bad. So it's like, oh, I'm not that bad because I don't look like them. What you're doing is you're telling God your art isn't good enough. Your art is ugly, God. This art is ugly. You're telling the Creator that his talent wasn't good enough, and it is. It's beautiful. You can also meditate on Scripture. So all the things that I read here, when you're feeling down about yourself, go read the Scripture. The Creator of the world, the universe, is telling you how beautiful you are. Read it. Meditate on it. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, Bill, you're saying it doesn't matter. I'm beautiful, whatever I do, so I'm just going to give up. I'm going to wear a burlap sack. I'm going to wear a trash bag. I'm just going to give it all up. No, that's not scriptural either. The Bible tells us that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a vessel that God has given us, so you will treat it with respect. I'm not saying go crazy. I mean, if that's what you want to do, if you want to get really fit, I mean, I wish I had the discipline to go CrossFit and all. I wish I had all that, but I'm not saying that you have to go like this extreme route or anything. I'm telling you, respect the vessel that you've been given. Work out. Your body is made to pump that blood faster, to breathe harder. Get out there and respect that body. Work out. Do something. Get out there. Don't just neglect it because you can't deal with it. Stop the negative comments. Quit it before it begins. Make a decision in your mind before you have the opportunity to talk bad about yourself or somebody else. I'm not going to do that. You can't, it's like you won't realize just how powerful that moment is. When you make a decision that I'm not going to do that anymore, that is a powerful moment. And when you get to that point where like, oh, this is the point that I would make the negative comment about myself or somebody else, you'll remember, I said I'm not going to do that, so I'm not going to do it. It's freedom. It's a freeing feeling because you are slaves to that. Constantly beating yourselves down, constantly having to do that. And also play to your strengths. Play to your strengths. I have a receding hairline. My hair is going away. I don't have to spend that much on hair products. I have hair on my feet. I don't have to put so much suntan lotion on it. Play to your strengths. I got really long arms. They're gangly. They're not really muscular. How better to wrap around your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your wife or your kids or to reach the light bulbs? Play to your strengths. Don't discount who you are, because you were made for a reason with a purpose, and you have gifts. Accepting others' image of you is like telling God his creation is no good. So according to the world, and I hate to break this to you, you will never be attractive enough. According to the world, you will never be. So stop looking for it there. No matter, because if you're a different culture, a different land, they think of beauty as something else, because at one time, big was beautiful. Now it's not. It always changes. So you're never going to be the right fit for whatever it is. Attractiveness, you will never achieve. You'll never be good enough for that. But God created me just as I am. So I am. And Jesus is constantly telling you, you're beautiful. You have beauty. I wanted you the way you are. The creator of the universe who made the stars, the sun, the worlds, the third of the universe that we even know, he made that. The other we haven't even seen yet, he made it. And he also made you. That's how important you are. So you're just as I am. You're beautiful. And so how does that work as a group? As Village Heights. What's the beauty of Village Heights? It's not how attractive our Facebook pictures look. It's not how our website, if we put the right attractive people up front, you know, on the web. That's not the beauty of Village Heights. The beauty of Village Heights is made up of the people that love here. And this is a beautiful place. I don't get compliments that we're the most efficient church or we do the best events or anything like that. The compliments that I get most of the time is that, man, when I walked through those doors, I immediately felt a part of something. It was crazy how quick it happened, because we genuinely love here. And there's three things that we do here. We fill the mind with truth, that you're beautiful, that you're created by God. We challenge you to work your body. Not just working out, but we give you areas, things to do outside of the walls of the church, outside of this group, on a Sunday experience, to do outside, to realize your giftings, and to realize that you were created for a purpose. We give you opportunities. We work that body, and we develop the soul. We are constantly giving you opportunities to grow deeper in your spirituality, grow deeper in your understanding of theology, your understanding of God, so you can better make that connection with Jesus. We do those three things, and that is what defines our beauty. The contents of who we are, the people that are here, and the vision that we follow. That's what will make Village Heights beautiful. So I'm asking you, because it's not just what I can say is beautiful, that's just skin deep. But I'm asking you to be a part of that beauty. Realize your own beauty in God, in Jesus, and what he did for you. And let's share that as a group to this community so we can show them that they're beautiful as well. And who created them, who gave them purpose, who celebrates them, and who wants to clothe them. Help us. God loves you just as you are. You don't have to be attractive enough, because God is God enough. Cover everything. He'll take it all away and trade for his beauty. You're beautiful. If you haven't heard that today, guys, you're beautiful too, okay? I know we only tell it to girls, but guys, you're beautiful. Jesus is telling you, you're beautiful. Let that ring in your head. Let that be your track that rings in your head throughout this week and this year. You're beautiful, because Jesus says you're beautiful. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Thank you that you came and you traded our ugliness for your beauty. You didn't have to do that, but you chose to. We are the object of your love. And sometimes we forget to realize that. Lord, I pray that this message is buried down deep in our hearts so we don't forget it. So when that moment comes up that we want to tear ourselves down or tell ourselves that we're not beautiful, we're going to realize we're telling the ultimate artist that his art isn't good enough. And it's not true. Thank you for making us beautiful, God. Thank you for loving us just as we are, just as I am. Lord, we love you. Lord, and I pray that this message not will just stay with us, but will spread. We'll go to our neighbors and our families and our coworkers, that we also tell them how beautiful they are, because they are created in the image of the Creator. Lord, we love you. Bless Village Heights and bless these people as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.